welcome to the Abilute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Abilute Community Church. My name is Bradley Brisson, or Brad the Baptist. Please open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. James was the brother of Jesus. Can you imagine being the brother of Jesus, having him being the oldest brother in the family? What that must have been like growing up, knowing him as just as a brother, and then eventually he became his Savior. And so James writes in a similar fashion, and when you read some of the things that James writes, you can see the influence of his brother's ministry in the words that he says. And when he refers to Jesus, it's not like he's my bro, but he's my Lord and Savior. He refers to him in very significant ways. But the book of James is a very practical book because it teaches us some of the practicalities of what it means to be a disciple. And one of the things that's been on my heart for a long time, and especially on my heart recently, is the skill and the art of listening. Ever since we were born, most of us have learned how to hear. We hear things all the time. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. Because you can hear noises and not even pay attention to them. You can hear background sounds and not even pay attention to them. But really listening is different than hearing. So I want to talk this morning about what it means to be a listener. Because I believe that what God is doing in all of our lives is throughout our lives, he's developing a keen ear to listen. God doesn't want us just to be hearers only, but doers. But he also wants us to be listeners of the things that he has for us. So let's take a look at James chapter 1 and verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Listening is something that needs to happen. And he says, be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. That doesn't mean you speak like Eeyore. It means you're slow to respond. And then he says, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. So James is saying this is really important. He says, take note of this. Pay attention to this. It's really important that you learn how to be a good listener, because he wants you to be a listener first and then be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because when you are talking while someone else is talking, you're not listening. And if you get angry and you start talking, then you're not listening. And it's really important for us to keep our anger in control, keep our speech under control, so that we can be good listeners. Because when you're talking, you can't listen. When you're angry, you can't listen effectively. You're hearing with emotional words, and you're not hearing things accurately. So one of the most important, I believe, one of the most important aspects of being a follower of Christ is one who's learned how to be a good listener in every situation. And it's something that it's an ability that we have to hear, but the skill of being a good listener is something that we develop. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do. We're talking about being able to listen in ways that go beyond just hearing the words, but listening for the intentions. And one of the things I heard somebody say one time is that bad listeners do not make good disciples. In order to be a follower of Christ, you have to be a good listener. You have to listen to what the master says. You have to listen to his teaching, and you have to apply that to your life. And one of the things I'm learning now is the way to listen to what God is saying to you is look for where there's places of activity in your life. What seems to be going on in your life? What's got your attention? Is it a relationship? Is it circumstances? Is it events? What's kind of got your attention, got you thinking, got your focus, got your mind engaged? That's oftentimes where God is speaking to you. And during those times of activity where you see something going on in your life, say, Lord, what do you want me to hear in this situation? What do you want me to learn in this situation? Maybe God's working on a part of your character to develop you to become more like him. Maybe God's giving you a gift that you can use to minister to somebody else in this special time. But just pray and ask God, what do you want me to learn in this particular season? So one of the things we're learning, what I'm talking about listening is learning to listen, not just with your ears, but learning to listen with your heart. Learning to listen with your heart. There's a really great book that I read one time by Margaret Feinberg, and it's called Sacred Echoes. And it talks about all the different ways that God communicates to us. God doesn't only speak to us in one way. He speaks to us by his Holy Spirit in that small, still voice in our hearts. Has anyone ever heard that? Where you know that God is saying something to you? Like even this morning, we heard God speaking to us. You hear in your heart, I love you. I'm for you. You're special to me. So we hear God by that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear it as a loud voice in our heart saying, do this, don't do that. We can hear God when he speaks to us through his word. When you're reading his word, all of a sudden you see something you never saw before. And you go, I never saw it quite like that before. God speaks to us from his word. God speaks to us through his people. Imagine that. Someone can come up to you and say something, and it can be, as it were, the very words of God coming through that other person. Can you imagine that? God can use you to speak into the life of other people. In fact, God wants to use you to speak into the lives of other people. God wants you to be someone who's always listening so that you have something to contribute that comes from God. We can also listen. Real devotion to God and real listening to God comes from not always doing all the talking. One of the things that I've learned about myself is that I can become a compulsive talker because I have, there's an old expression called the gift of gab. I don't really know if that's a gift. I think it's more just a gab without the gift, because someone says, I have the gift of gab. And they go, you go, I'm not sure that's a gift. But there's another thing that's important about learning how to listen is that in this particular church, we have the Holy Spirit working in each of our lives individually, but he's also working in our lives collectively as a body of Christ, as a family. And if you look around our church, you'll see that there's represented in this church multiple generations. We have a whole area of our building that's dedicated to ministering to young children. That's a whole generation of young children who are learning how to listen, and they're learning how to listen to the voice of God. They're learning messages from the scriptures to teach them about how God loves them and God has a plan for their life. We have a whole camp full of young teenagers and young adults that are learning to listen to God and to hear from God. We have people in our church from multiple different generations. And one of the things that's really important in order for us to have a healthy church is for the generations to communicate to each other. If we don't hear from the young people, we're missing some important information. If the young people don't listen to the old people, they're missing some important information. So communication has to go both ways. Listening has to go both ways. Now, one of the distinctive truths about Christianity that makes us unique other than other world religions is that we follow a God who is not just a historic figure. He's not just a statue. He's not just someone who wrote a book or started a cause or started a religion. But we serve a God who's actually alive. Imagine that. We serve a living God. We can say that our God is alive, and no other religions can say that. Unless they're a cult and they're following a man or a cult leader. But basically, we're the only religion that can say that our God is alive. And that means if he's alive, he hasn't stopped communicating. God always communicates to us because he wants to communicate to us. He wants to build relationship with us. He wants us to be open to listening to what he has to say. Now, there was a time in Israel when God spoke to them, but they didn't listen to him. There's an Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may be blessed, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him, for the Lord God is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God is a God who called his people unto himself. He said, you are my people. You are precious to me. I love you. And he called unto them, but they didn't listen to him. The tragedy of the people of Israel is that they were a people chosen by God. He spoke to them and called them to himself, but many times they didn't listen or respond. So when we talk about being a good listener, there's action involved on our part. Listening is first listening, but then it's responding to what we hear, responding to what we're listening to. The epitaph in the nation of the tombstone of Israel could say, the Lord spoke to his people, but they refused to listen. So he sent his son, saying that certainly they'll listen to my son, and they killed him. That was the epitaph of Israel. But God still speaks today through Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, through individuals. Many different ways you'll see how God speaks to us and he wants us to listen to him. So God speaks to us through his word, through what has been spoken. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, it's really important for us to always keep our ears attentive to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. When we read a scripture, we should take time and just meditate on that scripture and not rush through it. It's easy to get into a daily reading plan where you think, okay, I've got 29 verses I got to read today. Okay, got my daily devotions done for the day. It's better to just take one and really take some time with it than to try to just get through 29 of them so you can keep up with your daily calendar. That make sense? Because we're not just reading it as a contest. He who reads the most at the end wins. We're reading it so that we can actually understand. We're reading so that we can take in what God is speaking to us, what God wants us to hear. And it's amazing how you can take one scripture and just think about it for a while and just pray about it and just say, Lord, help me to see what you want me to see. I did this recently, and there was a particular time where I was feeling really burdened by all the responsibilities, and I had gotten to take some time away. And I was reflecting on this verse, and it said, I have stilled and quieted my soul. And I thought, okay, that's a deliberate action. I have to still and quiet my soul. No one else can come up and still and quiet my soul. They'd like to. Your soul needs to be quieted, dude. But I'm the one that I have to still and quiet my soul. I have to find a place where I can be still and be quiet and go, Isn't quiet make you nervous? Isn't silence hard sometimes? We live in such a busy world, such a noisy world. I remember a story of a man who was walking down the busy streets of New York City one time. And he was walking with a Native American. And all of a sudden the Native American stopped. And he said, wait a second, did you hear that? And he goes, hear what? There's people going by, footprints, cars going by, buses honking, taxi cabs. He could hear all the city of the big, of all the noise of the big city. And this Native American said, no, wait a minute, I heard a cricket. He goes, what? You heard a cricket? How could you hear a cricket? He goes, wait a second, listen. And he listens, he goes, there it is. And he finds it right there on the sidewalk, a cricket. He goes, how did you hear that above the noise? He goes, I've heard crickets my whole life. So it's a distinctive sound. And even above all the other noise, he could recognize the sound of a cricket. He says, watch this. And he reaches in his pocket, takes out a quarter, and he flips it on the sidewalk. And dozens of people in the area went. He said, that's the sound they're attuned to. And so we can be attuned to the sound of a cricket or a quarter dropping, or we can be attuned to the sound of the Holy Spirit when he speaks to our hearts and says, I love you. Be still. Quiet your soul. And then as I was studying that psalm, it went on to say this. It said, I do not concern myself with great matters. And I thought, that's good wisdom. Because I was carrying around the weight of great matters. And I had some meetings that were coming up where the subject of those meetings were some great matters, some big things. And I took those as almost a deliberate will, action of my own heart and said, God, I'm not going to concern myself with those things. I've done my part. I'm going to roll that over onto you, and I'm going to just let you take over here, and it's up to you to deal with this big matter. I walked into that meeting just feeling like God was going to take care of it. I came out of that meeting peaceful and smiling, thinking, I have not concerned myself with great matters. And I had the peace of God, and we saw God do some things that we couldn't have done. It was amazing. And so when we do our part and listen for God, then he'll do his part and he'll speak to your heart, and he'll bring confirmation. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about listening in the community. First, I'm talking about our ability to really listen to God and really attune ourselves to God. It takes time. It takes practice. It's a skill to be learned and a skill to be honed. And we never stop learning how to listen. We never stop learning how to attune our ear to that which is around us and what God is saying to us. Because God's not done talking to us. There's more for him to say. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe that God has more that he wants you to communicate, more that he wants to communicate to you? Sure. So let's be open to hearing from God and taking time to rest and listen to him. But it's also important in our community. It's important as we learn how to listen to each other. One of the things that's been a concern for me and a burden for me for many, many years is learning how to listen in the home. The first area is children need to learn how to listen to their parents. In Proverbs 1:8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Proverbs 4, verse 10, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many." Proverbs 23, verse 19, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path." The simple fact that in the home, the parents have more experience and therefore should be more mature. Sometimes we wonder who's the most mature, us or the kids. But the parents have more experience. They're further down the road in their walk with the Lord. They should have had some life experiences and wisdom by now. They should have something worthwhile for the children to learn. So it's up to the parents to teach the children, but the children have to learn how to listen. And there's lots of different ways we'll talk about this in just a moment, but there's lots of different ways we can kind of sabotage our ability to communicate with our kids. But it's really important for children to learn from a young age how to be good listeners. Did you know that children can learn how to hear from God? One night, we were going through the busyness of routine. We had four children. We have four children, but we had four little children at one time. And we had twin girls and two boys that were older. And the routine for getting ready for bed every night was enormous. Getting them all, going through all the stuff and, do 100 different steps to get them in bed and tuck them in. And finally, they get them in bed and they say, "Why did you say thank God when they got me in bed instead of good night?" But, you finally get them tucked in, and then I was walking out of the boys' room. I said, "Okay, good night, boys. That's the last question for tonight. Good night." And I went walking out. I just get to the door, and one of them from behind me says, "Dad, how do we know the Bible is true?" And I went, "Oh." Okay. So I went over and sat down next to their bed. We took another 20 minutes to talk about that. But what was happening was they were listening. They were listening to, they had a voice that was speaking to them in their hearts saying, "How do you know the word is true?" And they wanted to learn, so they became good listeners, and I had to capitalize on that opportunity. Mark Twain once said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." When you're raising teenagers, they know more than you do. Just face it. They know way more than you do. And it's not until they're about 21 they go, "Man, you are actually pretty smart for an old man." But in the home, we need to learn how to listen to our children. We can hear our children all the time. We hear the noises they make. We hear everything that's going on all the time. But it's different when it's talking about really listening to your children. What are you hearing beyond the obvious? What are you hearing beyond the noise? One of the things that I learned growing up was that parents can talk with children or parents can talk at children. And how many, don't raise your hands, but how many, you know what it's like to be talked at as opposed to being talked with. When you're up above a kid and you're using your finger and you're pointing to them, you're usually talking at them. When you're down on their level, eye to eye, heart to heart, you're talking with them. And there's a difference, because when I was growing up, I was talked at. "Look at me when I talk to you. Did you hear what I said? How many times do I have to tell you? Weren't you listening? Will you, won't you? Did you, don't you? Did you, didn't you? Huh? Huh? Huh?" And the child's usual intelligent answer is, "Uh-huh." That's the safest way to answer when you're interrogated, when you're talked at. You just go, "Uh-huh. Did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah." every word, understood completely. Because one of the things that parents feel this pressure that there's so much my child needs to learn. They need to learn all this social stuff. They need to learn all this hygiene stuff and nutrition stuff. And we need to, all the stuff that we're concerned about, the safety stuff and security stuff. And then you're getting ready to go to school stuff. And then there's the influence of school and teacher stuff and all the stuff that they need to learn. There's pressure on the part of a parent to want to always be talking, always be teaching. And when we're always talking and always teaching, guess what? We're not ever listening. Proverbs 18, he who answers before listening, this is his folly and his shame. One of the things I learned growing up with our children is that if you don't want your kids to ever talk to you, just stop listening to them. Or if you don't want them to talk to you, talk at them. And then they're not going to come up to you and tell you what's really important and what's going on in their life if you only talk at them and not with them. But if you talk with them, if you let them know that what they're saying is important, if you communicate somehow that you want to hear, and not just hear, but you want to listen and you want to understand, they're going to come to you with anything and everything. It's amazing. And you can determine how much your children come to you and how much they're going to trust you to listen to them by the way you respond to them. There's so many times when we think that we have to do all the talking because they need to learn so much, but we have to also do a lot of listening. There was a study that was done with small children, with young teenagers, actually, and they asked them, they said, what is the most important thing to you in regards to your family and your relationship with your parents? And the number one reason, the overwhelming response was that they desired that their parents would take time to listen and to understand them. So the parents would take the time to say, tell me about what you're experiencing. Tell me about what you're going through. Help me to understand. And then after you listen, then you repeat it back to them. Is what you're saying like this? Is it like that? Am I getting this? Am I understanding? Then they know that you took the time not just to hear, but you took the time to listen and you took the time to understand because they're hearing you say what they're trying to communicate to you. Then real connection can take place. My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because man's anger doesn't accomplish what God desires. So it's so important to be to teach your children to be good listeners. It's so important for us to be good listeners as parents, to listen to not just the obvious, but listen below the surface. Learn how to listen to their hearts, listen with your hearts. And then husbands and wives, we need to learn how to listen to each other. The longer you're married, the more you can become accustomed to old habits of listening with a paper in front of your face or listening with a book or a computer or something in front of your face. You say, you hear that? You go, uh-huh. Sometimes we can think we're hearing what the other person is saying, but I've been known to completely and successfully and effectively hear the wrong message. And I have been known to completely and clearly and effectively communicate a message I never intended to communicate. And I can be good at that. I'm not saying that to be proud of it. I'm saying that it's really easy to come across with the wrong message. Did you hear me? Uh-huh. Yeah, you're sick. You know, sometimes when we can minimize what the other person is saying and it's not communicating at all, we're not really listening. In order to really communicate with each other, you have to use appropriate language. You have to learn how to speak in a way that draws the person out, that lets them know that you're hearing them. And the same thing with your kids. You say, is this what you're saying? Is it like this? And they answer back, and you're going back and forth until there's some clarity. So they go, yeah, you're finally understanding what I'm trying to communicate. Okay, so communication is happening. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, don't use unwholesome talk. Don't allow any unwholesome talk to come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs. So when the person's talking to you, you're listening. Okay, what am I listening for? I'm listening for how I can build them up according to their needs. I'm listening for what it is that they're saying to me. They're saying they're lonely. They're saying they're upset. They're saying that they're tired. They're saying whatever they're saying, I'm listening so that I can understand, so I can respond in a way that is appropriate. And it takes humility. It takes humility to sit there and listen to a child explain to you and not try to speak for them and fill in the words and make it come out smoothly. Let them speak in the way they speak. It takes a lot of humility to sit with a teenager until they can finally tap into what they're feeling and express it and get it out. And it takes a lot of humility for husbands and wives to really take the time to listen and say, I think I understand what you're going through. I think I understand what you're trying to say to me. The other area that's really important for us in our learning how to listen is, first of all, it's our relationship with God. What is God doing in my life? What areas is God active right now? Where is God working in my life? Where do I see activity? What is God trying to teach me in this? What is God trying to show me in this? Is God trying to develop my faith, my trust? Is he trying to develop my relationship with him? Is he trying to develop my character in a certain area to make me more like Jesus? Then there's the communication in the home and learning how to be good listeners, teaching your kids to listen effectively and repeat back to Daddy what you think I just said. What do you think I just asked you to do? You know, because when you say clean your room and they go, okay, their version of cleaning the room and your version of cleaning the room are not the same. You want it military clean so you can eat off the floor. They want it clean enough so you can get through the room without falling over. So make sure you communicate with clarity. What do you think I'm asking you to do? What do you think I'm asking you of you? What is your expectation? And with husbands and wives, it takes humility to sit there and work through an issue. So many times, if we've got an issue that keeps coming up over and over, it's easier just to push it off like we did last time rather than to take the time to work it through. So you got to be humble. But in the body of Christ, it's really important for us to learn how to be good listeners. Sometimes we feel pressure to be friendly, or we feel pressure to see, you know, I've been to some public receptions recently and meeting lots of people I've never met before. And it's challenging to be a good listener when you've never met someone and they're talking to you, they're telling you the story. Or it's challenging sometimes to engage another person that you don't know. They say, so how are you? Blah, 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 you're talking. It's easy to drift and your mind kind of wanders. And sometimes somebody says, so how you go? How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing good. I just robbed a bank. How you doing? And so you just throw that in there just to see if they're really listening. You what? But sometimes it's so easy for us to go around and just say, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. I was in a room one time with a whole group of people, and a lady came in, and she went around. She was from New York. She came in, and she started on one end of the room, and she said, hi, hello, how are ya? Hi, hello, how are ya? Hi, hello, how are ya? She did the entire, I thought, she's going to do the same thing with every single person in this room. Hi, hello, how are you? Fine. So there's a way that we can communicate with each other that goes beyond, hi, hello, how are ya? I went to church Sunday, and you know what I got? Hi, hello, how are ya? Boosted me up for the whole week. I want to read to you a little treatise from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Christian pastor back in Nazi Germany in the 40s. He was he had started a seminary of training young pastors in Nazi Germany to declare the gospel, and he was teaching them. And then because Christianity was illegal in Nazi Germany at the time, they had to do it undercover. They had an underground seminary. I almost said cemetery. They had an underground seminary where they trained pastors. And they had to live together in close quarters, and they had to learn how to get along. Can you imagine if we all lived together for a while? Communication might be different by this evening. But he had to teach them how to live together in close proximity and learn how to allow other people to let God use them. So let me read you an excerpt from a book that he wrote called Life Together. He says, the first service that one owes to others in the fellowship consists in listening to them. So you're coming to church. The first thing you're going to think, I'm coming here because I want to listen to people. I want people to know that they can come up to me and talk to me, and I'm not going to just say, hi, hello, how are you? How you doing? How you really doing? How you really doing? You know, sometimes it takes about the third really doing to get down to where they're really doing. But Bonhoeffer says, just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. You can measure how much you love people by how much you listen to people. A measure of love for people is not how much you talk to people, but how much you listen. Does that make sense? Because I know in my life, when I think back of the people that have impacted me with the most significantly, it's the ones who took time to talk, but then they took time to listen. They said, "Brad, tell me what's going on in your life. How's it going?" Those are the people that impacted me. And he says, it's the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. He says, it's God's love for us that he not only gives us his word, God has given us his word, but he also lends us his ear. God doesn't just say to us, "Read the book." He says, "Read the book, and then we'll talk about it. I've got more to say to you that applies specifically to you that you'll find that agrees with my book, but it goes along with my book." You don't want to just write a little letter to your kids and say, "Here you go, this is what you need for life. All the things you need to know, you learn in kindergarten." You don't want to just give your kids a written treatise and just feel that that's enough. You also want to lend them your ear. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. So it is his work that we do for our brother when we listen to him. Christians, especially ministers, so often think that they always contribute, have something, so often think they must always contribute something when they're in the company of others, and that this is the one service that they have to render. I was at a wedding rehearsal the other night, and a rehearsal dinner with people I didn't know. Then we did the wedding the following night, and we were at the wedding reception with the same people I didn't know. And there's this tendency when you're in a group to talk. Or if you can't talk, you at least get a glass that you can disappear into. So when someone looks at you, you go, so you learn how to negotiate through a crowd without having to talk to anybody or listen. But we found that it was so refreshing to just listen to people. And they'll just tell, when they find you, you're listening to tell their, as they tell their story, it's amazing how much people will just blah, 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 because they're not used to that. It's a rare thing. Let me go back to Bonhoeffer. They forget that listening can be of greater service than speaking. Do you ever think of that? What are you going to do? Are you going to study the Bible and learn how to be a theologian? Or are you going to study people and learn how to be a listener? Well, I hope you do both. But I hope you don't neglect the second part. Study people and learn to be a good listener. Because that can be more valuable than your knowledge of the Scripture. When you let another person know that you love them, that you understand them, that you're praying for them, that you're there for them, that can mean more than being able to direct them to the right minor prophet that's going to answer their theological question. Bonhoeffer goes on, he says, "There's a kind of listening with half an ear that presumes to already know what the other person has to say." Now, I know none of you have ever done this. I know none of you have ever presumed to understand what you think this person is trying to communicate. But it actually has happened. It has happened with people where somebody is communicating something and the other person goes, "I know exactly what you mean." And they're going, "Really? You know exactly what I'm saying?" I know none of you have done this, but I've actually heard reports of people who said this. They listen with kind of half an ear and they come to a conclusion before you're done communicating. And sometimes they'll come to a conclusion because what they're doing is they're listening with half of an ear so they can prepare what they're going to say as soon as you take a breath. And it goes back and forth like this high-speed ping-pong game. Anybody ever know anything like, ever seen this happen with human beings? I know we've all been guilty of this. Especially when it comes to somebody who we deem is, we know a little bit more than them, or we have a little bit more experience, or a little bit more maturity, or a little bit more size, or a little bit more age, or a little bit more authority, or a little bit more whatever it is. We can sometimes assume, "I know exactly what you're trying to say." But Bonhoeffer says, this is listening with kind of half of an ear to presume we already know what the other person has to say. And then he describes that. Ouch. "It's an impatient, inattentive ear that despises his brother and is only waiting for a chance to speak and thus get rid of the other person." Whew. Yikes. He said, this is no fulfillment of our obligation. Lord, forgive me for the times that I have tried to hurry through a conversation because I felt uncomfortable. Forgive me for the times where I have said something in haste to try to end a conversation and get out of it so I could get back into my comfort zone. Lord, help me to remember those times when I feel awkward and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to hear in this conversation? What do you want me to hear at this moment? What is your Holy Spirit speaking to me through this person? Christians have forgotten that ministry of listening has been committed to them by him who is himself the great listener. Do you ever think of God as the great listener? Isn't that great? And whose work we should share. We should listen with the ears of God that we may respond with the word of God. So Bonhoeffer says it's really important that we learn the skill and the grace and the art of being a good listener, being a patient listener, being a gentle listener, being a humble listener, being the kind of listener that people will come back to you because they know that you're going to take the time to really listen and really try to understand what's happening in their life. Now, finally, I want to just wrap up with talking about listening to the other generations. In the epistles of 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John, in his elder years now, is writing the epistles, to these letters to the churches. And he addresses three different categories of generations, or three different categories of age groups. And in this particular part of 1 John chapter 2, he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then he goes on and he repeats it. He says, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. It's really important for us to learn how to communicate to the different generations. Can you imagine what this place would be like without children? I visited churches where I was one of the youngest people there. Scary. I didn't even ask to go in the nursery. But, but can you imagine what our church would be like if it were not for natural children, the children in the children's ministry? They're so full of love, so full of life, so full of wonder. And can you imagine what our church would be like if it were not for the new children in Christ, the new believers, the ones that have just come to Christ that are new? They bring the joy of being a child with them. They're full of wonder and simple faith, and they believe that God can do anything. They pray about everything. Oh, God can answer anything. And after we kind of have been around for a while, we go, well, yeah, but he doesn't answer that kind of prayer. But they're full of hope and expectation, and they love to just have fun. They love everybody who calls themselves a Christian. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. Isn't that great? They haven't known us long enough to not like us or see anything wrong with us. Isn't that refreshing? You just love Jesus so much. You're just such an amazing Christian. And then they get to know me and go, oh, well, he does have a few flaws. But this church needs children, both naturally and spiritually. They add a dimension to us that is crucial for us to be a healthy community. We need to learn how to listen to children. One time, my oldest son was a boy, and we were driving along in the car, and he goes, look, Dad. And I went, uh-huh. He goes, no, look with your eyes. I went, oh, sorry, son. Yeah, oh, that is nice. Conviction. It's like a kid would say, no, listen to mommy with your ears. Not with just, But children are a lot of work. They're a lot of work. It's a lot of work to have a children's ministry. You know it's a lot of work to raise children. Many of you have done remarkable jobs raising lots of children. You know it's a lot of work. They need to be taught. They need to learn to do everything. They need patience. They need to do so many things well, because they don't do things as good as we do. but they need to be received and they need to be listened to. Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." We do the same thing when we welcome new believers to this church. When we welcome children to this church, we are welcoming them just like we're welcoming Jesus. Children and young Christians need to be listened to. We need to take the time to communicate with them, build relationship with them, and allow God to use them. And there's young men in this church, young women in this church. He says, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one." The young people around here are fearless. They're amazing. The young leaders that work in our GM ministry, that lead our children's ministry and our youth ministry, are remarkable young men and women. You need to get to know them, listen to them, hear them talking, hear their passions. It's remarkable. They have great expectations of what God can do if we yield to him. They love relationships. They have vision. They're energetic. They're creative. They have new ideas all the time. And we can sometimes put those down and go, "Oh, yeah, that'd be a lot of work. Yeah, Oh, yeah, that's going to be expensive." You know, and we can squash their dreams and their visions. Let's listen to them and listen with excitement and listen with faith. These young people are very important to our church because they help us to be relevant to the huge population that needs to be reached for Christ. We need young men and women around here. We need them to mentor the children and the teens. You know, kids look up to those teenagers and they go, "I want to be just like him. I want to be just like her." And we need to have young people around here who are that kind of mentor to the young children. We need to listen to them and give them the opportunity to dream big and help us lead this church to be more effective. And finally, the fathers and the mothers. There's still some moms and dads around here. Thanks for hanging in here, moms and dads, mothers and fathers. "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. The older generation was responsible for building this building. It was their sacrifice and vision and hard work when they were young. They built this church. They've been faithful. They've given their resources. They've persevered. They have both wisdom and experience that this church still needs. So we need to hear from the older generation just like we need to hear from the younger generation. There's something about longevity that gives influence. The only way you get that kind of influence is by sticking with something for a long time. I like Eugene Peterson's definition of discipleship. It's a long obedience in the same direction. And all of us need to be the kind of people that are committed to a long obedience in the same direction. We're committed to mentoring the younger generation. We're committed to learning from the older generation. We're committed to being successful and fruitful and productive in our generation. Psalm 71, verse 18. "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." Psalm 145, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts." Would you all stand, please? We have different generations in this church. We have children, natural children that need to be cared for and nurtured and discipled. We have new believers that are coming in that make this a lively church family. We have mature believers who've been here for a long time. We have mothers and fathers who've been here for a very long time. We all need to learn and practice the art of good listening. Listen to God. What is he speaking to you? Listen to one another. Listen to the children. Listen to the young men. Listen to the fathers. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be good listeners. Help us to be good disciples. Help us to listen with a heart that beats like yours. Help us to listen for your Father's heart as you communicate to us. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for the times we've been an impatient listener. Forgive us for the times we have avoided certain people because we didn't want to be good listeners. Help us to listen with your heart and with your love. Help us to listen to those around us, Father, and let us be the kind of church that people can come to and they can be heard and understood and loved. Father, give us grace to grow in this area, to not stop growing, to always be learning to listen to your word, to listen to your Holy Spirit, to listen to your voice coming through other people, even our children. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for our family. Thank you for the privilege that we have to walk this journey together. Bless them as we all become better listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Continue to pray for the camp this week as you think about it. Pray for the Millar family. The giving receptacles are around the building. You can give. Newcomers, please stop at the visitors' information booth. You're dismissed. Amen.